As 1 John 1, 5 says, God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Father God is light, goodness, and love itself. Also, He wants us to resemble Him. 1 John 1, 6 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and yet work in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. God says, if you act in darkness, you have nothing to do with Him. It's a matter of salvation. Please cast off darkness quickly after listening to this message. The heart that you want to be lifted up and recognized, telling a lie for your own benefit, gossiping on others because you hate them, these are all darkness. It may seem to be beneficial to you for some time, but eventually it will be a big harm to your soul. If you keep doing evil like this, it will affect your salvation.
Many people, most of these people who practiced darkness, they weren't saved. And as the depth of darkness gets deeper and deeper, of course, you wouldn't be able to be saved. Of course, we wouldn't do such great evil, beating others up or hating others so much. But what I would like to say is we have to realize the darkness, every kind of darkness in our heart, and cast it away. So I talked about the slandering and passing judgment and condemnation on them. And God is light itself. So we have to realize what darkness is. And we have to cast it away. You might think, oh, this is something small, and it's not really great evil. If you are telling a lie and thereby giving a hard time to them, it's great evil. So I hope you will cast away all these forms of evil. This is the fourth and fifth things that God hates. First, it's a heart that devises wicked plans. What is a wicked plan? You know, you come up with a plan, but that comes out of your evil. So these wicked plans come from evil thoughts, wicked thoughts, and wicked mind. So it says, a heart that devises wicked plans. Because these plans come from wicked heart. In order for us to be able to get rid of wicked plans, we have to get rid of wicked heart first. We'll get into some examples of wicked plans. But we wouldn't delve into the specific ways to cast away wicked plans. But as I said, if we get rid of wicked heart, passing judgment and condemnation, envy, jealousy, and hating others, then we wouldn't have any wicked plans. And we wouldn't have any feet that run rapidly to evil. So we should realize all these evil things come from evil heart. And let us reflect upon ourselves. We can see many biblical examples of wicked plans. We can think about Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, who succeeded Solomon. Solomon built the temple for 7 years, for his palace It took 13 years. And there were other palaces too. So all this construction work, the king didn't really do all the construction work. The people had to do it. So the people, during the reign of Solomon, they did hard labor. So after the king was changed, Solomon died and Rehoboam became the king. The people came to Rehoboam and requested that the king lessen the yoke on the people. We can imagine how hard it was for the people. It was so hard that they would ask the new king. So at this moment of truth, moment of decision, depending on whether you have evil or goodness, you'll come up with a different decision. If you are good-hearted, you'll think about the position of the others, and you will try to give comfort. Not just to console them for the moment, not just as a piece of consolation, but you'd really want them to have comfort. So this way you can buy their heart, make them comfortable. But for evil people, their benefits come first. So they don't understand the position of others, and they give hard time to others. They can't help it. So the representatives, the elders of the people came to Rehoboam. So what would Rehoboam have done if he had been a good king? If he had been a good king, he would have said, he would have thought, thanks to the hard labor of the people, he could have enjoyed the temple, the construction of the temple and the palaces. So he could have given rewards to them. Then he would have been praised as a good king. But Rehoboam didn't, because he had evil in his heart. He couldn't understand the heart of the people. And he didn't give, he didn't speak any words of consolation. He gave out evil words. He spoke out evil words that would provoke the people. 1 Kings 12:14 says, "And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, 'My father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions.'" Scorpions, they have poison, venom, and it might even paralyze you. So, Rehoboam said, "I will give you a harder time, because only because I'm the king, I can do whatever I want." He wanted to show who is the king, who is in charge. And so the people hated him, and they thought they didn't have any chance. They didn't have a good life with Rehoboam, so they left him. So the kingdom was divided. Rehoboam should have spoken good words to buy the heart of the people. So through these, his evil words, the kingdom was divided. We know that the division of the kingdom was caused by the evil words of Rehoboam, so we can think, oh, he should have said something better. He should have known better. But you can easily, you know, it's easier said than done. And when you talk about others, you can easily say, oh, he should have done this, he should have done this. But in our lives, we can also apply the same principle and look back on ourselves. You know, we think of our benefit first. Oh, he is ignoring me, looking down on me. So I will have to show myself, lift myself up and, you know, try to show who is better. And we have to show them that they should know better. And this is an evil, wicked plan. So no matter how much we listen to the word of God, even though we try so hard to cast away sins, when there is this moment of truth, moment of decision, we tend to follow our own benefit because we still have an evil heart. So Rehoboam had this evil heart and he had arrogance to lift himself up. So he spoke out these evil words. And on top of that, because he was with the evil people, he came up with this wicked plan. In fact, at first when the people asked him to lessen their burden, he was wondering, and he sought the counsel of the elders who worked with his father Solomon, the former King Solomon. So their counsel was different than his words. 1 Kings 12:7 says, "If you will be a servant to these people today and will serve them and grant them their petition and speak good words to them, then they will be your servants forever." So those ministers worked with King Solomon, the former king. They gave him the good counsel. But because Rehoboam had evil in his heart, he wouldn't go with this counsel. He didn't agree with his own evil thoughts. So he sought counsel again with young men who were inexperienced, who were raised, who grew up together with him. He sought counsel from them. And these young men, they said that you will tell them that you will add to their yoke and tell them that you discipline them with scorpions. So we have to learn a lesson from here. When we counsel others, when we seek counsel from others, what kind of people are we together with? Suppose when you have a problem, when you want a piece of advice or counsel from somebody, you think about who you want to go with, who you want to go to. And you know that when you think about some people, you know that they point out your problems. And also when you think about others, they kind of give comfortable words. So if you just go with only with those who give you comfort, then it might be fleshly advice. Even though it means you are comforted for the moment, you have to think about whether it's according to the truth. Even if it's a little bit hard, if it is the Word of God, you have to listen to the Word of God. And when you seek counsel from somebody, they point out your mistakes and shortcomings. So you have to lower yourself. You have to find out your mistake. Then God lifts you up. But in your position, in your viewpoint, the other person is giving you a hard time. And you might want to hear that the other person is doing wrong. But this counselor this pastor gives you advice, saying you have to lower yourself, you have to humble yourself, you have to serve others. But the other pastor says, oh, you must be feeling so hard. It must be so hard. The other person is giving you such a hard time. Oh, how poor you. Then there's no solution to problem. The former advice, it might be a little harsh in your ears. But actually, if you follow that advice, it will solve your problem. So you have to check whether you like to hear reproaches or you'd like to hear only praises. And also, if you work only with those who agree with you, then it means you are a small vessel. Those who are broad-hearted, they work with various people who have various ideas, various opinions, and you still serve them. So this is a person who has big vessel. Broad-heartedness. So also you'd like to check whether you are hanging out with, what kind of friends you are hanging out with. If your friends speak good words, or your friends speak some gossip, deliver you some gossip, you might think they're informative, but it's not really information, but it is gossip. So maybe if you're really a leader, sometimes you have to listen to some things, some problems of others that you don't really want to know about. But unless you are in that kind of position, what would you do with that kind of information, negative words, and the problems of other people, gossip? So if you keep on listening to those things, you will end up gossiping about others as well. So you have to check what kind of friends you have, you are hanging out with, and what kinds of words you speak, what kinds of words you hear. So the flock of the same feathers stay together. So those who lie, they hang out together. Those who are righteous, they hang out together. You know, those who tell lies, those who are untruthful, they get tired when they hang out with honest people. But those who are honest, it's not something tiring, you know, but rather, if they tell a lie, they have pangs of conscience, so it's harder for them to lie. So, birds of the same feather gather together. So, we have to check what kind of friends, what kind of people we are hanging out with. In case of Rehoboam, like in the case of Rehoboam, I hope you will choose truth, honesty, integrity, and goodness, service for others. And you have to check whether your decisions are for the service of others or your own comfort and convenience and benefit. You'll have to think about whether your decisions are God-pleasing or not. And I hope you will only go the way of goodness. Also, we can think about Haman in the book of Esther. The sons of God, they left God, they forsook God, so they were taken as captives to another country. And in Persia, Ahasuerus, he made Haman as his prime minister. He lifted him up more than anybody else. And also, there were many peoples from various lands that they conquered. And Haman was appointed as the prime minister, so people had to pay respect to him. But Mordecai, a Jew, he wouldn't pay respect to him. He wouldn't kneel before him. So Haman was enraged. All the others, they pay respect to me. They honor me. And this Jew, this little Jew, he looks down on me, so Haman hated him. So why didn't Mordecai serve him, honor Haman? It is because Haman was so arrogant, he didn't serve God. Maybe if he listened to the holiness gospel, he could have honored Haman to, what he would have done, what he was supposed to do, pay some honor to Haman, but he had his own self-righteousness. And so Haman hated Mordecai and came up with a scheme to kill Mordecai and all the Jews, just because Mordecai was a Jew. So Haman wanted to annihilate, wipe out Jews from the face of the earth. He misused his power and authority and came up with a wicked plan to kill all the Jews at an appointed time on the appointed day and to take away all the possessions from them there. So he got the signature, the seal of the king on this decree to do that. Just because one person didn't bow before him, he tried to kill one whole race. How evil is that? And on his yard of his house, the front yard of his house, he set up a pole to hang Mordecai. So in this situation, when this when his plan was going well, what happened? Let me just jump to the conclusion. God didn't just stay silent about this evil plan. And God had his own plan too. First, Esther, who became a queen, a wife of the king, through Esther, this Esther fasted and prayed before God to stop this evil scheme. And God heard her prayers. And finally, as a result, this Haman was hung on this pole that he set up to hang Mordecai. And the place where Haman wanted to be, in the high place, Mordecai was lifted up, and all the Jews were loved by the people. So the king issued a decree, Esther 9:25 says, but when it came to the king's attention, he commanded by letter that his wicked scheme, which he had advised against the Jews, should return on his own head, and that he and his sons should be hanged on the gallows. Also, Esther 10:3 says, for Mordecai the Jew was second only to the king of Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and in favor with his many kinsmen, one who sought the good of his people, and one who spoke for the welfare of his whole nation. All the things that were done, everything was in the providence of God. And the evil Haman was punished for his evil scheme. But the God didn't stop the evil plan of Haman right from the start. And all the things, actually the evil plan that seemed it was going very well, but eventually Haman, who came up with the evil scheme, he was hanged himself. We know the conclusion. But, so we might think, oh, God stopped all the evil things right from the start, but that is not the case. God sometimes let these evil people go on with their plans. Sometimes evil things are done. So in the beginning, it looks like some good people, some righteous people, they suffer. Because God gave us, human beings, free will. So whether they do evil or good, it's up to them. God doesn't dictate the hearts of good people or evil people. It is not human cultivation. But God gave freedom to people. So if they have goodness, they will follow, they pursue goodness. And if they have evil, they pursue evil. So at first, God sometimes just watches them. And at the end of, this evil plan, God intervenes and brings justice for the good people. Sometimes God intervenes, sometimes. So in the beginning, sometimes evil seems to be prevailing and the good people are suffering. But finally, we can see that the good people prevail in the end. It looks like Haman's plan went ahead and it was going very well. But at different places, God had his own people, his own plan too. Before Haman came up with this plan. One time Mordecai helped the king save his throne. But the king never rewarded Mordecai for it. But right at the moment, the most important moment, God intervened and moved the heart of the king to read the book, the records, and he realized that he didn't reward Mordecai, who did him a good favor, big favor by reporting a plan of rebellion, treason. So he wanted to reward Mordecai. Also, the Queen Esther, she risked her own life to go before the king to request to save her people. Maybe you might think it's not hard for the queen to go before the king and make requests. But at the time, king had such great authority, and even the queen couldn't go before the king personally unless she was called upon. She was summoned by the queen. So even this queen, Esther, she couldn't dare go before the king. If the king didn't like her, that she went before the king, she could have been killed. But this Queen Esther, for more than 30 days, she wasn't summoned. She wasn't visited. She wasn't called on. So, in this situation, she fasted for 3 days and she went before the king to make a request. And God had mercy on her, so that when the king saw Esther, she looked so lovely. So, what is your request? I will give you even half of my country. So the queen looked so lovely in the eyes of the king. The king didn't call on her for more than 30 days. And so when Esther fasted for 3 days and risked her own life, if I die, I die. If I perish, I perish. And went before the king. God moved the heart of the king. So the king was ready to give her anything she wanted. So this is the work of God. The final conclusion is justice is served. So Haman came to know that his plans were kind of going south. It seemed it was going so well, but the king changed his mind in an instant, overnight. And king said, Haman, you are harassing the whole people because of such a petty reason. And Haman came to realize that. And he now went before Esther to beg for his life. And he was begging. And king came to witness that. And he misunderstood. Haman was harassing or doing something, you know, something like sexual harassment to the queen. And so king gave an order to kill Haman. This evil scheme of evil people, sometimes they look like they are going fine. Sometimes God just watches them. God just lets them be. But the punishment, when the punishment comes, kicks in, it'll be carried out very quickly. Looks like sometimes good people are suffering. But during the suffering, the truth will come out. Honesty will come out. Integrity will come out. And they will show their honesty, their integrity, and their faith in God. And as a result, God will turn this around and give them blessings. Haman all Haman's plans failed. And finally, Esther and the people, the Jewish people, they prevailed. So we can see God is in control of everything, and justice will be served and goodness will eventually prevail. And if we believe this, we'll fear God, we'll revere God, and we'll fear God and we'll even will be even afraid of God sometimes, and will follow goodness. And we have to trust God that He is good. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9 says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed." We might be suffering for a moment, but if we pursue goodness, the truth, and if we keep faith, then if we have faith, we will overcome, eventually, with faith. And as we keep on pursuing the truth, we will eventually win the victory. This is true faith. This is what the person of true faith does. If we just forsake our trust in God just because of momentary sufferings, if God is alive, how come He lets me suffer? That's not faith. Many righteous people, they went through so many sufferings, but eventually they overcame and they prevailed. This is what the Bible proves and tells us. 2 Corinthians 4:14 says, "Knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you." It said, Manmin Church, our shepherd, and all of us, we will overcome in glory. In the New Testament, also, there were some people who followed evil schemes. They were the ones who tried to find fault in Jesus, Pharisees. Even among the Pharisees, if a good person came to seek wisdom from Jesus. Even those who were in authority, they humbled themselves before Jesus. They sought wisdom and truth from Jesus. And we have this Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was demon-possessed, who humbly followed Jesus. Also, we have Joseph of Arimathea. He was a good person, righteous person. So even though things were not good for him, he just pursued righteousness and truth continually. But those who have evil eyes, envy and jealousy, they wouldn't agree with what is right, but rather they would oppose righteousness with their evil. They were saying Jesus was driving out demons through the power of Beelzebub. Jesus did only good things. He healed the sick people. He preached the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. But those who were jealous of Jesus, they were only jealous because Jesus was gaining popularity among the people. So they just tried to kill him, no matter what Jesus did, even though what Jesus did was only goodness, only truth. So those who are evil, they run towards evil. But this Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, "You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart." So those who have evil schemes, those who speak evil words, those who do evil things, they have evil in their heart. It's because their heart is full of evil. So, evil hearts causes evil words, evil actions, but they don't realize it. Evil people, they don't realize it. So through these examples, let's also be able to check ourselves whether we are speaking evil words or not. It's not that we stay silent and out of nowhere evil things come out. When somebody accuses you wrongfully, if others look down on you, and if you react in evil, it means you have evil in you. Whether you have evil schemes in you, you can check it through some examples. The senior pastor explained, when he receives many reports from many kinds of people, he can discern whether their hearts are good or evil when they when he talks to them. When those who are good-hearted, when they make reports, they mainly focus on the good points of others. If they have to mention negative points of others, they report only what is necessary so that it is really beneficial for them. They don't reveal, and they don't try to reveal the shortcomings and bad points of others. But those who are full of evil, they slightly mention shortcomings and iniquities, especially about they hate, about the people they hate. They don't talk about the good things of those people. They try to deliver only what is bad about those people. Sometimes it seems like they talk about good things of others, but soon they reveal the shortcomings and faults of other people. And even for them, when they like somebody, even if this somebody has made some mistakes and they have to report it, they don't talk about it. They don't report it. So they have favoritism. They are biased. And if they don't like somebody, they make unnecessary negative reports on these people they don't like. Also, sometimes they make their own mistakes and they blame others. They put the blame on others and try to make it look like it's other people's fault. These are all evil schemes. Wicked schemes. So they don't openly do those things because it looks like they're evil. So they don't do that. But they slightly, very, in a very sly way, they try to reveal the faults of others. So we have to look back on ourselves and try to find out whether we are doing this kind of thing and cast it away so that we'll only have peace in the church. And not just to the senior pastor, but we have many leaders in different groups, in different organizations in the church. So senior pastor advised that we should all only have goodness and peace. We don't reveal it, but we don't reveal it openly, but in a kind of subtle way, if you try to reveal the faults of others, it is also evil scheme. The fifth thing the Lord hates is the feet that quickly run towards evil. I talked about the arrogance and those who try to shed innocent blood. They were all going rapidly to destruction. It was the case of King Saul, Cain, Jezebel, Haman, and they were running rapidly to evil. All their thoughts were evil, and they were running toward evil very quickly. But we should also check ourselves from their examples. A senior pastor said, in the history, during his ministry, he could see the evil and both good and evil of the people, of the church members. Some people, after getting involved in a traffic accident, maybe he was hit by a car, and then he was compensated thousands of dollars, but to get more, they sued this driver, and he got tens of thousands of dollars eventually. But this money was gained through this evil scheme. So actually, he didn't deserve. But it looked like he gained some extra money. Eventually, there was no peace in the family. He was getting into troubles. and his end was not good. So for the moment, it looks like, it might look like it is good. But if it is done by evil, then later you see that it'll only cause more damage and harm to yourself. Some people, on the contrary, they have a good heart. They were injured in a traffic accident, but they know that this driver is very poor and they didn't really want any compensation. But these good people, later God blesses them, God blessed them and they prospered. God pays back goodness with goodness. And it's the same with evil. Evil will be paid back with evil. So do not follow, do not pursue the benefit that is right in front of you. If it is evil, you must not follow it. And some people might be tempting you. Oh, this is good. Is this a good business? And if you just do this, a little bit of illegal thing, if this is good, then you shouldn't follow that unless it is truthful way. If it is against the truth, you must never follow that way. God is watching everything with His blazing eyes. When the time comes, He will reward goodness with blessings. So I hope you will always pursue and follow goodness. Dear brothers and sisters, I believe that all of you would like to cultivate good heart, but as long as you have evil heart, your feet will rapidly run to evil, and it will be shown in forms of temper, falsehood, argument, and things like that. For example, Jezebel, when she wanted to take away Naboth's vineyard, she came up with this evil idea very quickly. The king wanted to take it, but Naboth wouldn't allow it. So the king was suffering, agonizing in his heart. Jezebel said, "It's a simple matter. Why would you suffer like that?" So she came up with this evil plan very quickly. And it was also carried out very quickly. And also those evil people who went with this evil scheme, they shed innocent blood. So finally, the innocent person's vineyard was taken away. And these things don't only happen in the Bible. We can see these examples in our daily lives too. And you should also look back on your past, whether you have done such a thing or not. If you have a lot of evil in your heart, when you hear something, your heart is easily agitated. And when you hear some gossip, you soon pass judgment and condemnation. You just believe those evil things. And you don't even want to check the details, whether it's true or not. You don't want to check the facts. So this is such a great evil in the sight of God. But when people have evil in their heart, they easily believe the lies and soon pass judgment and condemnation. Oh, that person is so evil. That person did so many wrong things. And this judgment is such a great sin. But if you go on, and they deliver it to others, if you don't deliver it, you can't hold it. So you would like to gossip with people among the people who are like you. So you slander and you gossip. And how rapidly is this evil going on? It's not just the feet, but it's also the lips that run rapidly to evil. So there are so many people like that. You know, they can't just hold it even for one day as soon as they hear, they have to deliver it. So they have to gossip all the time because they have so much evil in their heart. And let us understand how evil and how bad these things are. And also, some people, they hurt your feelings, they look down on you, and soon your feelings are hurt and your hearts are agitated. So you have to be able to check your heart. If your heart is agitated, it means your feelings are hurt. Your pride is hurt. And you have to, if you feel that, you have to control yourself. Oh, if I give in, I'm losing against evil. And if you can't control yourself, it can also be carried out as evil actions. So you have to stop there. You have to control yourself. And also you have to repent of it and cast away the original sinful natures from your heart. So your feelings are hurt and you come to dislike that person, you remember it. You keep it in mind. Oh, that person looked down on me. Okay, we'll see about that. And you keep it in mind. We have to keep in mind only the truth. Only the testimonies of blessings. And why would we want to keep in mind the bad things? So we have to be careful about this. But if others give you a hard time, when they look down on you, they keep it in mind, they remember it, and when you are in a opposite positions, and you show that you don't like them, you give a hard time to them, and you try to pay it back. So this is the same as the feet running rapidly to evil. And God wouldn't be pleased with this kind of attitude. He would probably say, your words and your thoughts, your actions are evil. So we have to always think about how God would perceive us in everyday life, even though nobody is watching us. God is watching us all the time. Would He say, I'm good or I'm evil? We have to keep our hearts, minds, and thoughts and actions so that they will not run to evil. I talked about a couple of things about the feet running rapidly to evil. But this whole world is running rapidly to evil. This whole world is getting so evil. And so we are exposed to this evil. And so we have to be on the alert all the time. Unless we change ourselves, cultivate goodness in us, we are likely to be stained by the evil of the world. So that is why we have to be cautious all the time. Especially young people and students, the teenagers. It's really scary sometimes. There are some, maybe, bullies, and these bullies, they leave out these students. They don't like this person, and they proclaim to the whole class, if you hang out with this kid, I will give you a hard time. And also they make them run some errands for them. They beat them. And if they don't like these kids, they create false rumors and they spread it on the Facebook or things like that and on the internet. And some people, kids, you know, sometimes they commit suicide. Just to talk about one little thing among the teenagers. And these young people are becoming so evil very quickly. Very, very quickly. Maybe at first they had some pangs of conscience about harassing and giving such a hard time to others, but later they become numb to evil. They get more and more evil. And they don't even think it's evil. They find it fun. You know, when they do evil, they like it. You know, when they harass others, they don't feel the pain of others, but they look like, you know, they enjoy it. You know, when others look like they are submitting to them. So we have to understand when you do evil once and twice and three times, it is increasing. So we have to stop any kind of evil. And evil only will give us back unhappiness and curse. Because God pays us back according to what we have done. And if you do evil, we'll be paid back with evil. Proverbs 4:18-19 says, "But the path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn, that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble." In the dark place, if there is an obstacle, you don't see it, so you stumble. And you don't even know what it is. Suppose there is a pit, and you fall into a pit. And if you do evil to others, whatever evil you do to others, it is an obstacle on your path. Right now, even though it doesn't bring punishment right now, they become obstacles on your path in the future. And someday you'll suffer for it. So even for small things, let us not do any evil. If you slander somebody, it'll come back to you. If you pass judgment and condemnation on somebody, it'll come back to you too. Even though others act in evil toward you, if you react to it in goodness, God will bless you with in goodness and with blessings. Let me conclude the message. God has no darkness at all. He is light itself, and He's good. His goodness itself. But He knew there was a role of darkness for the human cultivation, and that is why He just allowed, He let the rebellion of Lucifer be. Why wouldn't He have known that the part of darkness would be formed through the rebellion of Lucifer? But it was necessary. It was necessary for Him to gain true children through the human cultivation. And He endured the pains and sorrow of the betrayal. But that doesn't mean He gave Lucifer the attribute to betray. He forced her to betray Him. But He only cherished her, loved her. But in her own free will, she chose evil. At first, she praised God so beautifully. She was clothed with such a beautiful things. But as soon as she betrayed, she so quickly changed into evil. And if you keep on doing evil, your appearances also change. So that is what happened to Lucifer too. But of course, God knew that there was going to be part of evil, part of darkness, but He endured everything because it was necessary for human cultivation, for Him to gain true children. So in the book, Tears, there is a profession of the Father God. My endurance will last. It's not that I didn't know the pain of betrayal was going to be this great, and yet this sorrow penetrates into the depth of my heart. I only cherished her, gave thanks to her, but she makes all these things in vain and meaningless. There is one betrayal and the several that are connected with it. It's because the dragons and their messengers also betrayed God. And these several break my heart again, and evil is something I don't want to see. But evil will make goodness more valuable and the darkness light. And until my choice comes forth as true fruit, my endurance will last. It's the same today. Those who are good, they only act in goodness. Sometimes they suffer. Sometimes they are falsely accused. But those who are good-hearted, they still only act in goodness. They forgive. They mourn for others. They advise them not to do that. They don't fight back evil with evil. They don't reveal evil of other people. They only seek the will of God. They don't complain against God either. They don't say, "Oh God, I only acted in goodness, and why? How come you allow these evil things to happen to me?" They don't say that. They just believe in the word of God. They believe in the will of God, and they just keep on trusting God. Then God will let this goodness shine even more brightly. Evil and darkness will attack goodness and light. But the men of goodness, men of light, they only pursue the truth. They finally reveal the will of God and come forth in victory. But until they gain this victory, sometimes they have to endure for a long time, and a lot of tears and sorrow might be accompanied. But those who really seek God with faith, they will only give glory to God. They'll only show goodness. They don't show any evil things that God hates. These things are not present with those who are good-hearted. So when these evil people attack good people, try to harass people, harass them, of course, God is heartbroken about it, but He accepts the aroma of the goodness coming out from the good people, and when the time comes, He lets there be great turn of events. And this church also will reveal the beauty of goodness and the brightness of light. And until that day, I hope you will overcome with faith and love and prayers and faithfulness. Let us pray together, thinking about the message.
Hallelujah, Almighty Father God of love. Please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and internet all over the world. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues, and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy, devil, and Satan, all diseases, germs, and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. All epidemic diseases such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them, Father, from any kind of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's disease, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from the polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes. Let the deaf come to hear and let the mute begin to speak. Heal accidents after effects. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Bless them to conceive a baby. Father, please give them blessing to conceive a baby. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their homes and business, and their work with the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children, and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they may do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, I have met and experienced God and received His answers and blessings. Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.